Listen closely to what's happening here. On one side, you have members of Congress saying they were told no intelligence that Iran was preparing an imminent attack on the United States. And they were told that directly by the Pentagon. And yet, publicly, President Trump has claimed that Iran was building missiles to strike America. So which is it? See, right now, there are far more questions than answers. Why did this war start? And how long is it supposed to last? Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said just this morning that this is not a regime change war, but the regime has been changed. Listen.
Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel.
So wouldn't that make it a regime change war? I mean, what other possible criteria could there be for a regime change war? Unfortunately, those are questions that even the people authorizing this war do not seem able to answer.
Is there a plan? Does the president have a plan to guarantee that that happens?
No, it's not his job or my job to do this.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute here. So that's not our job. It's not the job of the president of the United States or a U.S. senator to decide who's in charge of Iran. Listen, I totally agree with that. You're not going to get any argument from me. The problem is that is until the U.S. kills all the leadership of Iran. And according to Trump, he didn't just kill the existing leadership. He also killed the entire bench. And that's the biggest point. No one knows what's next. And there is no plan for what's next. In fact, there isn't even a plan for what's now. Because from everything we're watching, this war is already taking turns that were not anticipated. For instance, you kill the leadership, as we have in so many other regime change wars, that's what this is, and the country and the military fall apart. But it's not happening so far in Iran. In fact, I told you just last week that war with Iran is very different than war with Iraq 23 years ago. What's different? How about the fact that even with all the leadership dead, missiles continue to be fired, and we're talking about hundreds of missiles every day, striking Israel, Gulf state nations, and U.S. military bases. Why? Because in anticipation of this, Iran decentralized its entire military structure and strategy. So far, our military had that part wrong. The next thing our politicians seem to have wrong, the idea that the Iranian people would rise up and take their country back. President Trump said the other night that this is their best chance to do so. Listen.
I call upon all Iranian patriots who yearn for freedom to seize this moment, to be brave, be bold, be heroic, and take back your country.
Yeah, but so far, the video coming out of the country tells a very different story. Most media is not going to show you this. A lot of people are denying that this is even real. But hundreds of thousands of Iranians are taking to the streets, not to protest their government, but to protest our government, calling for death to America and death to Israel. Doesn't this sound familiar? We have seen this playbook so many times before. You remove a government, you destabilize a region, and then you act shocked by what comes after. And then, of course, there's a third part of this war that was apparently unforeseen. It's how much warfare has changed in just the last 20 years. Look, right now, Iran is launching drones that can cost anywhere from $30,000 to $35,000 to produce. But the missiles used to shoot them down by the U.S. and Israel, those cost anywhere from $500,000 to $4 million per intercept. In other words, every time one of those drones is actually hit or destroyed, defense systems may be spending hundreds of times more money than the weapon they're taking out. And they are taking out massive targets. The Iranians are. Over the weekend, the Iranians used a $30,000 drone to attack and destroy a $300 million U.S. radar system in Bahrain. So early estimates indicate that the U.S. has already lost billions in military bases, equipment, radar, fighter jets. The economic cost of this war is staggering. And I'll remind you, it's only been going on for 3 days. See, military analysts say that may actually be part of the strategy here. Launch large numbers of relatively cheap drones and force your opponent to burn through extremely expensive interceptors. And by the way, those missiles are not infinite. So estimates claim that the rate that the U.S. military is burning through those interceptor missiles, we could have the entire supply run through in just 10 days.
The great Ben Swan, everybody, with a very thorough report. More on the other side. Breaking news, reactions from senators.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Continuing to cover the Iranian war, it looks like a bunch of senators and congressmen just emerged from a briefing with Marco Rubio and have made statements about what they think is next in Iran. It appears as though we started this conflict with no approval from Congress, obviously, no game plan as to where this goes and what the ultimate goals are, no outlay whatsoever as to who will take over Iran once we do kill all of their leaders. Now apparently we're bombing the new leaders. Okay. So now after the war has started, we're scrambling to try to get, you know, sufficient military resources in place to carry out this mission, which, again, hasn't really been explained. Now they say that they're going to basically try to arm the Kurds to take it over, which is not going to go over well with places like Turkey that are always at odds with the Kurds. And this, of course, has been what we've been predicting for the last week, because this was sort of an inevitable outcome because they don't have a plan to replace the Iranian leader. There isn't, in reality, as much as they say that there's this, you know, sizable portion of the Iranian population that just desperately wants Reza Pahlavi to rule over them. Like, it's ridiculous. That's not the case. So if they were to kill the leadership as they have, it's inevitable it's just going to fall to factionalism, and in a place with so many different regional ethnicities and traditions, you're going to get factionalism like you did in Syria following the fall of Bashar al-Assad. So it appears as though the plan now is to simply turn all of Iran into a giant civil war quagmire of endless factional combat. Like, great, wonderful, well done. The world is so much safer now. Policy Tensor on X: do they know what fires they're unleashing? If the Kurds agree to do this, it will have major consequences. The Turks will almost certainly intervene, at first with airstrikes and then with ground forces. They might even get in direct conflict with Israel, who they now see as a power bent on regional hegemony. The Iranian army will be deployed in the Kurdish region to counter those proxies. The ground war is unlikely to remain confined to the region, with Shia militants from Iraq joining the fight. It may spread much further than people anticipate. Kuwait is just a short drive away. Even if the proxies, backed by U.S.-Israeli air power, manage to push back the Iranian ground forces and survive Turkish pressure, that will not destabilize the regime in Tehran. It will create a breakaway province under Israeli influence. The Iranians will come back later to reclaim their territory, setting the stage for persistent conflict. This in response to Alex Ward's report saying President Trump is open to supporting groups in Iran willing to take up arms to dislodge the regime. U.S. officials said an idea that could turn Iranian factions into ground forces, at least rhetorically backed by Washington. Again, the question is just like, what the hell are we doing? How is this a preferable condition? For what possible reason would we want to replace a Iranian leadership that as much as Lindsey Graham and, you know, Donald Trump say, oh, Ali Khamenei was this, like, radical that just wanted to kill America. What did Benjamin Netanyahu say in the clip earlier today? They're fanatical in their drive to destroy America. Look at their actions over the last, I don't know, 30 years. It doesn't look to me an awful lot like overt aggression, constant, like, trouble-causing. Like, they're not anything like Israel. Israel, you can't turn around. I mean, they're just, like, murdering sheep in the West Bank and just, like, firebombing children there, and then they're, like, invading Lebanon and just, like, setting fire to schools there. They're also still bombing people in Gaza with no end in sight. I mean, they're just insane constantly everywhere. It's just outrageous. That's not been Iran. Iran has not been like that. In fact, the biggest concern about Iran had to be the nuclear weapons, which Ayatollah Khamenei had a fatwa against. He said no nuclear weapons. We killed the guy who resisted nuclear weapons. Now apparently there's a new supreme leader in Iran, and lo and behold, he's more extreme than Khamenei was. Ali Khamenei's son, Mojtaba, named Iran's new supreme leader. Iranian assembly of experts elected Ali Khamenei's son, Mojtaba, as the next supreme leader under pressure from the Revolutionary Guards, informed sources told Iran International. And so we have just deliberately created a quagmire cluster F in the region, even though they were negotiating with us, even though we'd had an agreement that Donald Trump tore up in his first administration. There is no justifying this. There is no ability for anybody honest to frame Iran as an existential threat to America or a threat at all to America in any way. At the very best, you could say that they were a threat to our regional partners, which would just mean Israel. And in a way, yeah, they are a threat to Israel, but only because Israel is insane and murderous and want to grab all of the land and destroy Iran and will not rest until that happens. And so, yeah, they're not going to let that happen. But if Israel just felt like no longer killing all of their neighbors with abandon, then it wouldn't even be an issue. From OSINT Defender on X, the United States and Israel are seeking to foment an armed uprising inside Iran using Kurdish fighting force, which has been built up since the 12-day war in 2025, according to ITV News. Sources claim that since last year, weapons have been smuggled into western Iran to arm thousands of Kurdish volunteers. They are expected to begin a ground operation within days and possible air cover by the U.S. and Israeli Air Force. Like, does anybody think this is a better idea than, like, I don't know, arming British patriots? Like, is this really what we need to be focused on? Europe is being totally destroyed. Israel is, of course, just committing genocide all over the place. And we're just going to arm the Kurds to go attack Iran, and Turkey's going to get involved, and probably Israel's going to get involved with Turkey. And so we're basically setting up the next 20, 30 years of war with this one utterly retarded, inexplicable choice. And I said this yesterday on Twitter. It's like the confusion from the Trump administration, the incoherence and inconsistency of the statements that they're making. This is for Israel. It's not for Israel. We made Israel do it. Well, Israel kind of made us do it. I mean, this is particularly absurd because this was never a surprise. This never should have been a surprise. It's not like they were just like, ah, oh, yeah, let's, you know, do this real quick thing. It'll be no problem. And then it starts to spiral out of the hand. They're like, oh, we didn't expect. I mean, it's like there was a big red button that said war with Iran, and all they had to do was not press that button. Literally all they had to do. Donald Trump, if he could have just not pressed the war with Iran button for 4 years, he could have done pretty much anything else. You know, it would have been nice if we'd had mass deportations. This thing would have been nice. That would have been nice. We, you know, everybody has preferences of what they would want Trump to do. All he had to do was not press the war in Iran button. That's it. It's like the one true part. It's like he's like Eve in the Garden of Eden. So you have this huge bounty, a feast of every edible plant you could possibly imagine. Just, there's one that you're not supposed to eat. That's it. That's all we're asking. Just it's one thing, and it's not even appetizing. It's not even good. Why would you even want to? You know what I mean? It's like Trump's, you know, walking around a feast, delicious meals on every hand, you know, dishes and drinks and candy and all this stuff. And he just like can't help it for his whole first term. And now for a year in his second term, there's just a pile of human feces. And he's just like, God, I can't get my mind off that, though. There's all this other stuff I could be doing, but that's calling for me for some reason. It's the one thing you're not supposed to do. It's the one thing in the entirety of all of the panoply of your abilities as president. The one thing you were supposed to avoid doing was go to war with Iran. What the hell is your problem? Why did you go to war with Iran? You didn't even have a good reason to. So, it's just like, talk about the biggest blunder in American history. I can't, is it even a blunder? It's just like, what do you do? What do you do? I'm trying to think of other examples just because there's something so absurd about it. He could literally do anything. I mean, if he'd actually created concentration camps in this country for like illegal immigrants or whatever, people, you know, would be like, well, hey, at least it's solving a problem. At least it's getting rid of the immigrants. Yeah, maybe I'd like to see it done a little differently, but hey, they don't want to leave. We got to make them leave. We got to put them in camps for a while first. That's just what you got to do. Like, there's just pretty much anything. He could do pretty much anything. It's just there's this one tripwire. This one tripwire. You know, or it's like, that's kind of what it is. It's like, all right, there's this tripwire called War with Iran, and it's like under the stairs in the basement of a disused YMCA in a burned out part of town. And it's like, you shouldn't even be there. You shouldn't even be anywhere near there. There's no reason why. It's like you had to go out of your way for a really long time to even find the tripwire, and then you trip over it. What the hell? And so just taking all this, not to just rant about what a like world-endingly retarded thing it was for Trump to do this, not just go off on that forever, we have to understand that this is Israel. We have to understand that it's the Israel influence. It is the pernicious effect of the Israeli diaspora here, and that includes their partners, that includes the American Jews that support them endlessly and fund their operations, people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and all these other people. They need to be deprived of power. They need to be deliberately excluded from influence in our country. It is nothing but poison to us. The people that are going along with it are actual traitors to our country who have committed treason. And I would include Donald Trump with that. I do include Marco Rubio with that. I consider this unforgivable. And I think they should be tried in a Nuremberg-style thing. But not just them. Everybody else involved. All of the Israelis need to be, you know, declared enemies of the state. And everybody going along with them need to be held to account. I genuinely feel that way. Because look at where we are. Look at where it's going. And once again, we've lost God only knows how many American soldiers already. One American soldier is too many to sacrifice for Israel. I would rather see all of Israel turn to dust than a single American soldier die. Because what the hell do I care? They're not my country. It's not my people. Doesn't affect me. I don't care. In fact, I do care. In fact, I care a lot. I think they're evil and bad and wrong and need to be punished by good people who are strong. But for some reason, all of our good people are co-opted by these disgusting demons. So that's the point. That's what we have to deal with. All of this other stuff is downstream. All of this other stuff is dealing with the cancer as it manifests in the body, right? Dealing with all of the telling your soldiers that you're fighting for, you know, the Antichrist so that Jesus can come back, the Purim crap, all of that, that's like those are the tumors that are growing on your skin. Israel is the cell phone tower sending out the radiation that's giving us the cancer. That's what has to be taken down. The influence of Israel. And can we not all unite on this? Is this not something that all Americans left and right can come together and say, F Israel, we want nothing to do with them. They provide nothing for us. They are nothing but a thorn in our side and a knife in our back. Please, can we come together and actually have a positive outcome from all of this, that we all wake up from this delusion that we've been in, this deliberate hypnotism that has been foisted on us by the Israelis, their diaspora, and their collusion throughout media and politics. We have to break this spell and free ourselves from this subversive element. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me they didn't just get us. So senators and congressmen have been given a briefing about this, and there's some very interesting videos that have come out. Let's go to Schumer first. This is Chuck Schumer, self-professed guardian of Israel, with a little Freudian slip. Let's watch.
Do you think Israel, forced the U.S.'s hand here, boxed the U.S. in on this?
Look, no one wants a nuclear war. No one wants a nuclear Israel, but we certainly don't want an endless war, plain and simple. What did I say?
Nuclear Israel.
Oh, no. Got it. Let me say that again. No one wants an endless war, but we certainly don't want a nuclear Iran. That's for sure. Okay?
At what point does the lack of DHS funding
become about? Yeah, but Israel having secret nukes, that is fine and good. Actually, it's good. Lindsey Graham also came out of this. Gee, I wonder what his interpretation is going to be. Let's go to Lindsey Graham after this briefing with Marco Rubio.
So I've never felt better about how this ends. It's not if they fall, it's when they fall. It's not us alone, it's us with the region. Europe is now getting into the game. So I want to compliment President Trump for starting something that the world is now gravitating to. This regime is in its death throes. The amount of firepower coming in the next day or two from us is going to be overwhelming. And when you add to the mix the Arab capability, then it's going to be overwhelming. The demise of this regime is at hand, and the goal is to make sure they can never be a threat like they were before.
And again, he must just be like, we would all be blessed to be able to feel what Lindsey Graham is feeling right now. Hopefully it comes for you in the form of something fulfilling, like the birth of a child. But for Lindsey Graham, this is the fulfillment of 30, 40 years of desire. Oh, no, wait. He's now wants to go after Cuba. Now it'll be, we have to go after Cuba. Now it'll be Cuba wants to kill us. Cuba chants death to America. We can't rest. We'll never be safe until Cuba can be taken out. Oh, and Turkey. And also Turkey. And by the way, Russia. And have we told you that China is an existential threat? Guys, we got to just go to war forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because otherwise, Israel will have to stop killing children. So it's unacceptable. We cannot allow for Israel to have to be moderated even slightly in their insane aggressive activities around with all of their neighbors. It's just that has to go on unimpeded, relentlessly. And if the cost of that is every American missile ever built and the death of hundreds of thousands of Americans or tens of thousands of American servicemen, it's a small price to pay so that Israel doesn't have to, be criticized for killing people. That's the point of all of this. Let's go to Chris Murphy here, Democrat, on what he thought about the briefing with Marco Rubio.
Senate, this is as serious as it gets. This is war and peace. They told us in that room that there are going to be more Americans that are going to die, that they are not in the short run going to be able to stop these drones that are going to continue to fly into the Middle East. We have to have a debate in the United States Senate on an authorization of military force. It will likely fail. It will likely fail, and we shouldn't be voting to proceed to other pieces of legislation until we get a debate on this deeply unpopular, immoral, and illegal war with Iran.
I think the debate needs to be about Israeli influence. It can't just stick to this Iran war. The Iran war, again, is a symptom of a sickness. It is a manifestation of the real problem, which is the Israeli influence, which for the survival of our nation has to be extricated, has to be ruthlessly. And again, I would be thrilled if the Democrats helped to lead that charge. Not that they oppose, you know, Israel at all, really, at the end of the day. And you know, certainly when it came to the speech that Trump just gave, State of the Union, the only time that both parties stood up and clapped was when they talked about war with Iran. So it's not going to be an easy fight. You're talking about trying to extricate Israeli influence from a group that is basically entirely controlled by them at this point. So, you know, we're going to rely on the few outlier mavericks like Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna. But the sentiment in America is there. And they'll come along. I mean, they'll follow the train once they see it's leaving the station. Politicians, at the end of the day, they want to get elected. They want to do what's popular. They want to at least be able to tell their constituents that they stood up against white supremacy by opposing war with Iran or whatever dumbass crap they have to sell their retarded audience. But regardless, it's like we can come together on this. We can do this, and whoever does it first is going to receive such an overwhelming amount of approval from the American people that other politicians are going to want to get into it, get in on it. Let's go now to, I believe, one more. This is Mullins, Senator Mullins, and I believe he's a Republican, right? And he is trying to defend what's going on in Iran. Let's watch.
Are there measures being taken not to eliminate other possible alternatives to leadership?
This is war, and we're taking out the threat. And if you're part of the threat, then you have then you're a target. You know, what we'd call not all the arrows, but going after the archers.
You'll concede this is war. You'll concede this is war.
We haven't declared war. They declared war on us, but we haven't.
War. Secretary Hegseth.
No, we haven't declared war. Just now, you said this is war.
They've called it war.
They've called it war. What I was saying, okay, well, that was a misspoke. What I was saying that they've declared war on us, but war is ugly. It always has been ugly. But we're taking out a regime that's been trying to attack us for quite some time.
But you're not conceding this is war.
We have declared war. So if we haven't declared war, then I don't see that. The president hasn't asked us to declare war yet. But they have declared war on us. We're just simply fighting the threat that's been at our door for 47 years. I've already answered the question.
So it is war. I'll just let you know right now. I looked up the definition, and yes, it is war. This is war that's happening. The fact that you're not calling it a war because you don't have an authorization to wage a war doesn't mean that what's happening isn't a war. It just means it's an illegal war. Okay? That's how this works. And I'm frankly just sick of this excuse that can be used for anything, apparently. Why'd you bomb the hospital, Israel? This is war. Okay, why did you bomb the people you were negotiating with for regime change? Then when the new regime change came in, you bombed them also. And it's just like, this is war. And it's like, war does not mean you just stupidly kill everybody that happens to cross your path. Like, I'm sick of this excuse of just like, it's war, so we can't think about what we're doing or pay attention to the consequences. It's war, after all. We started a war, and now that means we are just not, you know, responsible for anything that happens from this point on. It's war. It is war? No, it's not. It's not war. Ah!
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at TheOlexJonesStore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the OutlookShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Outlook Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheologyStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheologyStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheologyStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? A gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring. Or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to be joined now by Peter Beistren. He is a principled Czech-born German politician and dedicated member of the European Parliament for Germany's Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD party, proudly representing the Europe of Sovereign Nations group. As a respected voice on the Foreign Affairs Committee and beyond, Peter champions free speech, multipolar cooperation, and a Europe of strong sovereign nations, remaining steadfast in his convictions amid ongoing political challenges, which, of course, makes him an enemy of the New World Order and the globalists who would rather fold us all into a lukewarm, monochromatic nothingness. So welcome to the show, sir. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Harrison, and welcome to everybody in the United States for watching us. I am proud to be in War Room again. Hello.
Well, we're very proud to have you, and I feel like we have to provide you a service here using our free speech in America to try to help Europeans speak for themselves and speak out for themselves. And Europe, of course, is under crushing censorship, and it's really only increasing. And this is having some pretty devastating impacts, specifically to you and to Alternative for Germany. Can you tell us what's the latest with the AfD?
Well, that's true, but it's the same like in the U.S. What Biden administration has done to your opposition in the United States, especially to the MAGA movement, the same is happening to us in Europe, especially to the AfD and Germany. You know, we don't have Biden here, but we have Ursula von der Leyen. We have the Commission of the European Commission, and they are doing the same things. And the newest discoveries come, thanks to God, from the USA. House of Representatives, the Judicial Committee, found out that the European Commission was influencing U.S. Platforms, big tech companies like Meta, Google, X, since 2015 to censor all the conservative voices from Europe as well as from the USA.
Yeah, and this is, again, we see this a lot in America specifically, but if they can't do something through the government, they'll use a private organization to sort of circumvent restrictions and rights that we have. So in America, right, we have it's illegal to search without a warrant, but if they're searching, you know, a company and the company just provides the material willingly, then they don't actually need a warrant. So we're seeing the way that private companies are often sort of filling in places where governments are not able to surveil to their heart's extent. Is that what's happening here? Is that the American government is pressuring American companies to censor Europeans for European political reasons? Is that what's happening here?
No, what was happening here, and I am very thankful to my friend Jim Jordan, who was explaining it in the House of Representatives. You know that the European Commission did the pressure on American companies, and it was a really huge pressure. Just one single number, you know, they let X, Elon Musk platform X, had to pay 120 million euro fine because they refused the censorship, you know.
So right.
And before they enforced Zuckerberg of Facebook, you know, to censor all the platforms. This is really huge. So we know that at least two elections for the European Parliament were heavily influenced by this. And really a high number of national elections across Europe, name it, Czech Republic, Italy, France, Germany, all those, Romania, most famous example from the latest time, were heavily influenced. So this is a big scandal, and thanks to Jim Jordan that he put it into public. And I think this is just the start of the investigation, because this is really huge. Just... maybe I give you just one example, because this what the European Union and what the governments in Europe are doing, this censorship, it of course targets the biggest US platforms we are talking about, but they are also doing pressure even on TikTok, which is a Chinese company, you know. And it happened to me when I was foreign policy speaker in the German parliament that they censored three speeches of me on TikTok after each other in 1 week, because it was against the war in the Ukraine, and they deleted always one speech, second speech, third speech. And at the end of the week, I lost the whole TikTok account. So I had no TikTok account at all. And we were asking, so what's going on? And we asked TikTok to give it back to me. And just listen what we got then as the answer from Beijing, from communist China. They said, oh, Mr. Bison, you will not get the account back because the German government is doing such a heavy pressure on TikTok Germany because you were criticizing the German government. So then we cannot give you the account back. You know, just imagine, you know, this is my job as an opposition politician to criticize the government. And they said, no, because you have been criticizing the German government, your account will be deleted. So
Wow. This
is what, yeah. And the Chinese, at least they admitted it, you know. We have the same on the other side.
But you would think that, okay, here's this Chinese company that's censoring you unfairly, and you'd go to them. But no, they're actually doing it because the German government wants
exactly.
them to do that. And of course,
exactly.
You know, X has a pretty clear, and they don't always stick to it, but their standard is like, if it's legal language, then it's allowed on the platform. I think that's a good standard. But there's something very strange about the fact that it's speeches you're making in Parliament or you know, in Congress with the EU as a representative. It's speeches on the floor or things that you're saying in public that are then not allowed to be put on the platform. It's like if a representative of the people is saying it in a speech, how is it not allowed on a platform? I mean, that is just such a bizarre disconnect.
You hit the nail. You know, this is exactly what's the point. The European Commission was censoring politicians who are elected, who are representing millions of people. They were censoring scientific data, the truth. They were censoring the truth during the corona pandemics. You know, they censored all the professors, doctors, who were telling the truth, but it was just in contrary of the narrative which was produced by Pfizer, by all the other organizations, you know, by Fauci. They just wanted to spread their narrative, and they oppressed everything what was against it.
Well, and of course, the irony is that this is, to me, cut and dry election influence, right? You're going in and silencing one party and giving the other party a platform. That's going to have major outcomes. And yet a lot of the censorship that Europe is engaged in is itself predicated on, well, we have to protect our elections and Russian influence and all this pernicious influence from Elon Musk. But it's the opposite, right? It's total projection. They're the one influencing the elections through their censorship, and yet they're predicating it on election interference. Help me square that circle. How do we explain this?
Russian interference is a very, very good point. We have experienced it in Europe heavily before the election for the European Parliament last year. I was a target of it as well as other colleagues. And that was really massive. The establishment created a campaign, which was the Voice of Europe affair. And they said exactly, it was, again, nearly the same like in the U.S., what happened to Donald Trump before. You know, they just accused politicians from several European countries that they are Russian agents, Russian spies. How? Just imagine what they created. They said that the website, news website from Czech Republic, run by Ukrainian refugees, that it was a tool of Russian propaganda, and this website, this news site, should influence the whole European elections. I mean, it was, in fact, it was a total nonsense, okay? But nobody of the big media, no one, even not CNN or any other big outlet, was questioning this narrative. They just repeated it. They just said, yes, this was a tool of Russian propaganda. It was created to influence the whole European elections. In addition to that, every politician who gave an interview to this website was bribed by Putin, received the money. Millions of US dollars were paid in cash, you know. And this is what they spread before the election, 10,000 times. And I have a list here, you know. It was in France, they accused the former minister, Thierry Mariani, and also his colleague Patricia Chagnon. In Italy, Matteo Gazzini, Francesca Donato, both of right-wing parties. In Holland, Thierry Baudet, Marcel de Graaf. In Germany, myself and my colleague Maximilian Krass. So this campaign was really, really heavy. And how it worked? Wow. The mainstream admitted itself that they are proud of it, that they influence the election. Just imagine, you know, we have a post which was done by one of the biggest, most influential political one of the biggest political news sites in German public television, yeah? And they published a graphic saying, like, look, our campaigns are working. We put down the AfD within the campaign before the election. We put them down from some 20, 5% down to 70. This is, you can see it. This is the graphics now. So we, in January that year, we were in the polls by 23%. And they just said, okay, the first campaign was a fake news campaign about re-immigration plans. And then they started this Russian collusion and then the Chinese collusion. And at the end, we had from 23%, wow, we landed at 16%. And they not just, they just admitted it, they're proud of it. And you must take into consideration that the German public television gets paid 9 billion euro per year. They cashing, you know, 9 billions. This is their budget. And for what are doing with this money, they are blackmailing opposition. So this is what happened and before the European election.
Wow. So that's what we're looking at here. This graphic is actually them documenting how successfully they took away basically 13-14% of AFD support through just a couple of well-placed stories. So they had a scandal about re-immigration, they had a fake scandal about being a pro-Russian network, and then a fake espionage scandal about China. And they're saying, look, with these three stories, we severely hampered this extremely popular party. And you're right, they're bragging about it. They're actually saying what a great job we've done, how successful our operations have been. I mean, that's really something else.
Exactly. And you see, this is what happened in Germany. So they pushed us down by 7%, which is just a lot if you see it. It's nearly one third of the votes we could get. And the same happened, you know, on international scale. And here we are coming back to the U.S. because this was, you know, till now we were just talking about censoring the social media, censoring us as politicians, you know, censoring everybody who is against the mainstream.
Right.
But now we have a other topic, which is propaganda. The European Commission was paying media for spreading their propaganda. And the European Commission was not the first one who got this idea. The first one was the CIA, was the deep state in the U.S. In fact, they created, possibly they created or they cooperated with the U.S.-based NGO, which is called OCCRP. And yeah, this was for years spreading fake news materials or maybe even illegally by secret services stolen information across the world. And this U.S. NGO, OCCRP, the members are the biggest publishing houses across Europe. So mainly they distributed fake news. And we discovered that this American NGO received more than half a million euros, 600,000 euros, just right after the election. So 1 month after the election, the EU Commission said, oh, thank you very much for blackmailing the opposition. We pay you now 600,000 euros. And this is really incredible.
No, it is. And there's a couple of selections here that are really kind of jaw-dropping, where it says, OCCRP's original funding came from the Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs in the State Department, and quotes a USAID official who says, OCCRP founder Drew Sullivan is, quote, just nervous about being linked with law enforcement. If people who are going to give you information think you're a cop, that's a problem. It appears as though the beginning of OCCRP's practice of hiding U.S. government funding. So this all came out of USAID. OCCRP does not operate like a normal news organization. Its goals appear to include interfering with foreign political matters, including elections, with an eye towards causing regime change. Sullivan told NDR that his organization had, quote, probably been responsible for five to six countries changing over from one government to another government and getting prime ministers indicted or thrown out. So is a USAID offshoot organization called the Organized Crime Corruption Reporting Project. And here they are bragging about using propaganda to literally overthrow governments. It's amazing.
What you are quoting is excellent work of a U.S. investigative journalist, Michael Schellenberger. Compliments for this. He found out really great stuff. And there is a really a funny story I can tell you because I was involved directly, you know. In those documents, there is a quote about the NDR. This is a German public television. And they did a documentation. They were part of OCCRP, and they did a documentation about the work of OCCRP. So everybody thought, like, oh, this is going to be a other kind of propaganda. This is going to be something nice about the OCCRP. And the boss of OCCRP, Gerald Sullivan, he was interviewed by them. And, oh, he felt very comfortable. So he was talking like, yeah, we influenced the elections. We are responsible for the change of governments in five or maybe six countries across the Europe. And then at the end, when they saw the final result, when they saw the whole documentation, they recognized, oh, fuck, this is not this is really a hot topic. So they censored the whole documentation. So it was produced, finalized, but never displayed. And a French journalist finally put it online. It was censored again. I put it online again as a politician. I said, well, this is important. Look, I put it online. And guess what? The German public television hired the most expensive U.S. lawyers, a big law firm, and they sued me and they said, if you show it again, you will pay 50,000 euros straight.
Wow.
So they censored it the third time, you know. And in this documentation, the boss of OCCRP, Drew Sullivan, U.S. citizen, you know, again, is saying, oh, well, we probably been responsible for five or six countries changing over from one government to another government. So this is what journalists are doing. They are paid by USAID. Donald Trump, thanks to God, stopped the funding through USAID. But now the European Union, European Commission is continuing this work and is paying those media for spreading propaganda.
Wow. And again, yeah, this is from Michael Schellenberger's story on his public Substack. The Censorship Industrial Complex Part 3, The Foreign Threat, and is from February 12, 2025. And just for our American audience, they'll, you know, understand why it's important to understand this stuff. The CIA whistleblower, whose complaint became the basis for the 2019 impeachment of President Trump, relied upon reporting by a supposedly independent investigative news organization called the Organized Crime Corruption Reporting Project, which appears to have effectively operated as an arm of the USAID. In a censored 2024 documentary by German television broadcaster NDR, a USAID official claimed the USAID approves OCCRP's annual work plan and approves new hires of key personnel. So when they wanted to stop Trump from looking into the war in Ukraine and putting a stop to the buildup of the war during his first administration, it was a whistleblower complaint from this exact organization that was then working with the local German broadcaster, produced a documentary, realized the documentary made him look not very good, and so they've censored it three times over now. They're scrambling, but they're desperate to shut you up. They're desperate that people don't know about this, and it shows, you know, if they were just honest, it wouldn't look so scrambling. They wouldn't be covering everything up. They wouldn't be, you know, so desperate to try to hide this stuff if they could just tell the truth. That's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, but of course they are desperate and they are very, very aggressive by oppressing this because they know that this is highly criminal, you know. And also all the mainstream media, they would lose the rest of the credibility they have. Just look what is happening again and again. And I can explain it on this campaign, a Voice of Europe campaign, which happened before the election to the European Parliament. As I said, they just claimed, they said, one news site from Prague run by Ukrainian refugees was a tool to influence the elections within all the European countries. And nobody questioned it. Der Spiegel didn't question it. CNN didn't question it. You know, big outlets didn't question it, just spread this propaganda. And then one Czech journalist, you know, he just went on the website, he was looking on it, and he said, like, well, wait. How can it be that the English content is, you know, of this website can influence the whole election across the whole Europe if they get 4 or 5 likes.
Right.
You know, the website was maybe red in Czech Republic, maybe in Ukraine, but it has zero influence across Europe.
Well, and again, it's just exactly what they did in America. I mean, you know, there was a Russian ad that 4 people liked on Facebook, and they said, see, Russians are affected. I mean, it's just the exact same playbook, point by point.
Yeah, but the European Commission paid those biggest outlets €600,000 after the election. Guess for what? For investigative journalism. And I am asking myself, you know, are they kidding us? You know, what is this of investigative journalism if you spread a total fake news? 5-year-old kids can see this is total nonsense, but they are just spreading it and doing the opposite of investigative journalism, you know, they're just spreading propaganda.
Right, the opposite of investigative journalism. Now, I know we don't have too much... longer with you, but I know, I don't know, do you want to tease a little bit a video that you guys are translating right now? I understand you had a bit of a fiery interaction with somebody at the EU Commission. Do you want to tease that a little bit, or should we let people
come
wait?
On, you cannot. Oh, this is a top secret topic. You cannot tell it on television right now. But okay, you did it already, so, well, yes. We had a very, very hot discussion with the former commissioner Thierry Breton in a committee right now. This guy is under U.S. sanctions. Donald Trump was putting him on sanctions because, again, Thierry Breton was involved in censoring X, or was doing pressure on U.S. companies. This guy got famous because he said when there was talk about the election interference in Romania, he said, yes, we did it in Romania and we are going to do it again in Germany. So he indirectly admitted that the European Commission is influencing elections. So I had a dispute with him in a committee in the European Parliament, and we will display this video very soon, and I will be happy when the American audience will see it, maybe at InfoWars.
Just a little teaser there, and people will enjoy it greatly. Thank you so much for being here with me. Peter Beistrin has been my guest. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for your work, and God bless America.
God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you, sir.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the #1 news app in the world. Go to Alex Jones.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first 4 guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theofficerstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.